Morning. Good to see you today. Glad, good to be back home. And I do want to add my word of appreciation to the preachers and teachers while I was absent. And I concur with Brother Dan, those who teach and those who preach do a good job. And the reason it's a good job from my perspective is because you teach the Word of God. And when we teach God's Word, as it's stated, then He gets the glory. He's the one who is honored. And I thank you and value that your readiness and willingness to serve, and it's greatly appreciated. We have visitors, and I want to add my word of welcome. We appreciate that you're with us and hope that you can come back again tonight at 6 o'clock and other times that you have. We want to answer any questions that you might have about what we teach, about what we practice. We want to turn to the Bible and try to give a Bible answer. We sang a song just now. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that we run around every other sentence saying, Jesus. You know, some seem to have that idea. You've got to say Jesus in every other sentence or you're not doing it in the name of the Lord. What that means is simply by His authority, with His approval, with the power that heaven establishes and reveals to us in His Word. Jesus, through His apostles, said in one place in John 1, as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on His name. The word right there is exousia, it's power, authority. Christ gives authority and power to you to become a child of God if you will believe that He is the Christ. You see, you can believe in vain. It's possible to believe, but not unto the saving of the soul, Hebrews 10:39 says. So the urging of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that if you believe that He is the Son of God, then put your faith into action. God's grace is available, but it's received as we respond in faith, confess our faith that He's the Son of God, repent of our sins, and are baptized in Christ for the remission of our sins. And then saved from our sins to live faithfully to Jesus as a member of His church, not of some denomination, but of the body of the saved, the redeemed ones, following His word, doing all in what we say and what we do in His name, by His authority, and therefore with His approval. And that leads us into our discussion this morning about the Bible. Is the Bible from God? Now, when we ask that kind of a question, we assume that we're already accepting the truth that God is. We're not going to deal with that subject this morning. We're already committed to the truth that God is, that God exists. What our interest is this morning is how does the Almighty God reveal Himself, and more particularly reveal His Word. Does He have a message for you today, for me today? Now, you know, you can turn on your TV, you can turn on your radio, and you can hear a lot of people telling us that they've got a message from God. Sometimes that message from God is, God told me that you need to send me X amount of dollars, and He'll bless you. Heard that, you have too. Sometimes that's the message. Or God gave me a message that, you know, Joseph Smith said that he was supposed to go out and pray about what was right. And God appeared to them. And on, you know, we get those kind of stories, those kind of responses, those kind of experiences people tell us about. So, it's not surprising that a lot of people are skeptical about God speaking to man. And perhaps you don't think in terms of God speaking to you, but you need to. We need to have the concept in the right way, the way the Bible reveals this truth. You know, if you're going to explore for oil on the continental shelf, you don't start drilling in the middle of the state of Washington. You go out to the continental shelf and you start exploring there, start drilling there. Well, we can drill into the Bible and we can know and be confident that it's His Word. And there are many evidences that support and bring us to that inescapable conclusion. The Bible is the most documented ancient manuscripts of any books or collection of books in the world. No other ancient writings have as much support for their validity, for being genuine, as does the Bible. So we're not going to talk about all that this morning. We're going to already assume that you understand and know that the Bible is from God. What we're going to ask is, has God revealed His Word? Has He revealed His Word to us? Does God have a Word to speak to you and me? And if so, how did He do it? And why did He do it? Now, I said we weren't going to talk about this, but I just wanted to illustrate to you what some of the, how relevant this becomes for us in our lives and trying to teach others. I just got this email yesterday from a skeptic, from an unbeliever. He wrote, Noah's age is given in Genesis 9:29, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. So Noah lived to be 950 years. Are you kidding me? Which one of his kids were Oriental? Which one was Negro? The stories you idiots believe in. Wow. Now, I've been pondering on whether or not to answer a fool according to his folly or not answer a fool according to his folly. But clearly here's one who rejects the Bible out of hand and quite evidently rejects a God who would speak a word and will to man. We are convinced of better things than you this morning. That you understand and know who God is. That God has revealed Himself to us. And the question then becomes is, how has God revealed His mind? The universe declares the glory of God. You know, Psalm 119, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. We can look at the created world and be convinced God exists. But it does not tell us what God wants from me and you. It doesn't. We can look at the mountains and the sea and the eagles soar and all of this world and know that there was a Creator. Understand it must be so, but that these things did not happen by chance. But what does this God expect of me and you? Only when He will reveal Himself to us can we know that. This is a fundamental lesson, but it is at the heart of being able to do everything that we do in word or in deed in the name of the Lord. If we are not equipped to understand that God has revealed His mind to us, in a word, how He's done that, so that and what that means to us today, then our faith will not be strong. We'll put our faith in a friend, or in our parents, or in a building, or in a group, and it won't be in Jesus. So we'll spend our time this morning in trying to answer those questions. Has God revealed Himself? How has He done it? And why is this important to you and me? That He has revealed Himself. Psalm 19, 7-11 that we sang and then we read emphasizes this, a Psalm of David. And just look at the passage there with me. We won't read it again, but I want you to note that it has the law of God and a number of words used to describe the Word of God. It's a law, it's a testimony, there are statutes, commandments. It's a reverential message. It's ordinances that they do something. God's Word does something. He says it perfect. He describes its nature and then what it does. It's perfect and it converts the soul. An imperfect word will not convert us to God. It will not save us. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. So the attestations of God, the things that God attests to, the testimony God gives us confidence, gives us wisdom. The statutes, the instructions of God are right and they rejoice the heart. You see, at every turn, it has a nature and it has an effect. but only if we will use it that way. See, this, that fellow who's caught up in the unbelief of that he showed in this email, God's Word's not going to do anything for him unless his heart changes. Unless the mind is open to an investigation of the message. But when it is, we see that here is a God who has revealed all of these things, revealed His Word that has all of these attributes. And look at the value David put upon it. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Now, can any of us imagine this room full of gold? I'll say, yeah, Joe, I can probably imagine that. Okay, start imagining. Now, you got a choice. This room full of gold or the Word of God. Which will you choose? Well, maybe the more important question is, what are we choosing? Because you see, really, our room's full of gold in this life. We have our homes, our houses, our material possessions, even, the relationships of life. All of these are of great value to us. But is the Word of God more valuable? More to be desired than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. It's sweeter than the honeycomb. There's nothing more pleasing, David said to him, than God's Word. Because you see, it brings, look at the, it gives me warnings, he says in verse 11, and it gives me great reward. By them your servant is warned, and in keeping them is great reward. God's Word is valuable because it warns us of sin and death, and it rewards us when we will keep God's Word. Now, by obeying God's Word, we're not earning the reward, but we are receiving the reward that God grants us, that God makes available to us. And it all begins with the fact that God has chosen to deliver truth to us. John 17:17, Jesus, in His prayer to the Father, said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Thy Word is truth." God's Word is truth. Scientists tell us, what's true. They tell us what the facts is. Or archaeologists will tell us what the facts are of the past. We want truth. The philosopher will say, well, what is truth? The truth is something out here that you define and for yourself. Or you define on the basis of all your considerations of the past, and the societies of the past, the culture of the past, and the experiences of the past. And then you have truth, but after all, truth is relative, and so forth. Well, that's a human perspective. That's a human wisdom. But Jesus said, "Thy Word is truth." God's Word is truth. That's what we build our faith upon. But how does God's Word, which is truth, get to me and you? Just for a minute, let's just suppose just for a minute this volume of writings, these 66 books, is not in your hand. You're out here and there's a God, and He has a mind and He has a will for you. He has a law and statutes, and they'll warn you and they'll reward you when you keep them, but He'll reward you when you keep them. But how does His Word get to you? What has God done to accomplish that? That's what we need to know. Well, how He's done it is He sent His Son. He sent His Son, Jesus, the Christ. In Hebrews 1:1-2, it says, "God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers by the prophets," says that at various times and various ways He spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, "has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the world." So God has spoken to you and me by His Son. That's why the Son is described as the Word. John 1st chapter, verses 1 through 3 and verse 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is the Word of God. The words of Jesus the Christ show us the mind and will of God. John 12th chapter, 49 and 50, Jesus said, "I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Now, I want you to see the attitude Jesus had toward the commandment of God, the Father. He said, His command is everlasting life. Just as David, centuries before, knew that in the Word of God there was great reward, Jesus knows that in the Word that the Father gave Him, there is the reward of everlasting life. And that He speaks it to the world. Not upon His own authority or initiative, but that which the Father wanted Him to speak, that's exactly what He spoke. So, if in fact God's Word will sanctify us, set us apart from sin, John 17:17, then Jesus is the one that we need to listen to for that to be accomplished. He speaks the Father's Word to us. You say, well, Joe, this is real simple. It is real simple. We must remind ourselves. You see, God has a message for you and for me. How does He get it to us? What does that mean in the way that we live? Well, you say, well, okay, but Jesus isn't here on the earth today. So how is Jesus going to talk to me today? Well, let's find out. In John 12, 16th chapter, 12 through 16, or 15. Let's start over on that. Too many 15s and 16s there. John 16, 12 through 15. Jesus, speaking to His apostles, and in fact, you might back on up to verse 8, says, when He has come, that is, and He'll identify who this He is, He already has, is the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit would convict the world of sin, of its sin. Would convict the world of righteousness and of a judgment. And so each of us need that convicting of our own sin. We need to know that there is a means of righteousness and that we stand and will stand in judgment before God. The Holy Spirit brings that message to us and to the world, He says. Now, Jesus in 12 says, I still have many things to say to you. So here's Jesus who was sent with the words that the Father gave Him to speak. And when He spoke them, He said, it contains the everlasting life. And so just what the Father gave Me, I speak. But Jesus now says, I have many other things to say to you. I still have a lot of things to speak to you. But you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of Truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. So, the Holy Spirit is here described as the Spirit of Truth. We're talking about God's truth, spoken by Christ, from the Father. And now Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to guide you, in this context, as His apostles, in all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority. Whatever He hears, He will speak, and He'll tell you things to come. Now, just as Jesus said, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who sent Me has given Me a command. Jesus now says that the Holy Spirit's going to come, and He won't speak on His own authority. But He'll take what I have and He'll give it to you. He will glorify Me, for He'll take what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said He'll take the Mine and declare it to you. So when the Holy Spirit takes the things of Jesus, He of course is taking the things of God the Father. Okay? And He's going to speak them, He says, to the apostles. That's who He's talking to in that context. All truth. All truth. Now, Thy Word is truth. And now, the Holy Spirit is going to guide the apostles into all truth. Now, one of those apostles in Ephesians 3 wrote about this truth, this message that came from the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3:3 says, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already. So God made known to Paul how it was that God was going to save mankind, redeem sinners. And he's written about it in the first two chapters of this book. He wrote briefly about it. But notice, it came by revelation. Remember, Jesus promised the Spirit will guide you into all truth.
That guiding is one of revelation, of a revealing of the mind of God made known to the apostle. But now watch, he said, I wrote it briefly already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
Somebody writes something and you read it, you understand what's on their mind, don't you? Because what someone writes is an expression of their mind, what they're communicating to you. Paul says, you read what I've written, and you can understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Look, what was his knowledge? His knowledge was by revelation. By revelation he made known to me, verse 3. Now you read what I wrote, you can have my knowledge. You can understand the revelation. You can understand the message of truth that came from heaven, from Christ, and His whole, and the Holy Spirit to the apostles. Verse 5 will say that, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets. So, revealed by the Spirit to the apostles and prophets of Jesus Christ. A word was revealed. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 13, God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. That is, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. God has made preparations for those who will love Him. Warnings and reward. Remember, as David had described it, He has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man who sent him? This is a commonly referred to passage, and we understand it very clearly and easily. You know that I can't know what's on your mind unless you tell me. And you can't know what's on my mind until I tell you. And you can't know what's on the mind of God until He tells you. And Paul said, He's told us. He's revealed it to us. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We can know about salvation. We can know about redemption. We can know truth given to us freely by God because the Holy Spirit has revealed it to us. See? So, and you remember when we read, Paul said, I got it by revelation. So when you today read what Paul wrote, then you can understand the revelation he received. And what was that revelation? It was a revealing, a making manifest, an unfolding, a showing. When you reveal something, you remove the cover. Well, you can see it. You can know what's there. You can understand the mind of God, the will of God for you. That's how God speaks to you today, is in a word. Not through a still small voice, not through a better felt than told experience, not through some feeling or some warm fuzzy, you know, or some other experience that you know, there are about as many as the people who claim them, but in a word that is constant, that is true, that is available, that when you read what they wrote, you can understand the knowledge they received that was revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. That word was confirmed. That is validated. It was shown to be true. It's shown to be genuine. Mark 16th chapter and verse 20. Of these apostles, that Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come and He'll guide you into all truth. It says that they went out and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs and the signs that followed. There were signs, there were miracles that attended the preaching of this revealed message that came from the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit revealed to the apostles and prophets of Jesus Christ. So that's why we said earlier, we can open the Bible and we can drill down into it and we can see what it says and we can see the evidence that exists there and we can be confident that this is a message that came from God and not man. Now, that's going to have some bearing on what you do with this Word, how you treat this Bible in your life. whether or not you believe that it came from God. The man's email was clear. He doesn't believe it came from God. And that you're needing to believe it came from God. He hasn't considered the evidence, or if he has, he's rejected the evidence. That's a point of decision that each of us either have made or will have to make and continue to make in our lives about ourselves and the Bible if we're going to do all things in the name of the Lord. Now, one of those apostles will go on to say that no interpretation of Scripture is of private origin or private interpretation. Scripture is not a No prophecy is a private interpretation. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 says, for no prophecy came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit moved, that is, impelled, drove them. That word's used in the book of Acts when there's a great storm on the sea, on the Mediterranean Sea, and the ship in which Paul and over 200 souls were on that occasion. It says this great wind, this great storm drove the ship, drove it along. But he says that prophets were driven along by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit of God, giving them the words that He wanted them to speak. And that's why in Romans 16, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 John 1, all of these verses talk about a word that came from God through the prophets of God to accomplish the perfect man. Let's put all that together and let's look at that. Romans 16, 25 and 26. The passage says, to Him who is able to establish you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. What will establish you? What kind of preaching will establish your soul? Storytelling? What kind of preaching will establish your soul? Philosophy? Entertainment? Motivational speaking? What preaching establishes our soul? Look at the verse. The preaching of Jesus Christ. That which is according to My gospel, according to the revelation of the mystery, kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. The preaching that will establish our souls is the proclamation of the gospel. Paul says, My gospel. Why would he say mine? Because, you see, it was revealed to him by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it wasn't his personal gospel, but it was that which he was proclaiming. You see, that which had been revealed to him, that which through his miracles was being confirmed, and by inspiration, he was speaking it, and then he was writing it down. So the preaching that we preach today is this book, because without this book, we don't know what God's mind is. We don't know what God's will is. We don't know what God has done for us. We don't know about Jesus as the Son of God. We don't know about His sacrifice on the cross, His death for the sins of the world. We don't know what God expects of you and me to be saved from our sins, or if He expects anything, or if He does, what it is, or what He's planned for us. Who will live for Jesus now? We don't know any of that. We're left to guess on our own. Except that God, you see, has revealed in the Word and inspired the record of that message. Paul said, "Let him, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things that I write, that they are the commandment of the Lord." Things that the apostles wrote for the commandment of God. Now, what did that psalm say back there in Psalm 19? It said about the commandments of God. Look back there with me. Psalm 19 says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Oh, here it is, verse 8. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. God's commandments are pure. You see, people turn to the Bible and say, well, that Bible is corrupt. That Bible is unholy. That Bible is just full of nonsense, idiocy. But that Bible contains an inspired message that is the commandment of the Lord. You see, the commandment of the Lord is pure, and it enlightens the eyes. You want to understand, you want to know the mind of God, then you open His Scriptures. You learn, you listen, you read, you learn His Word, His commandments, and they will enlighten you. And they will bring you joy of salvation if you will obey them, if you will believe them, if you will have trust that it is true and then live it in your life. Look at 1 John 1 with me, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning. Now, this is a reference to Jesus.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we looked upon and our hands handled concerning the Word of life.
The things concerning the Word of life, that life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Well, wait a minute.
Jesus said, I don't speak on my own authority, but whatsoever the Father has commanded, that I speak, and I know that His commandment is everlasting life. His Word is everlasting life. Now, John, one of the apostles, says, we've heard it, we've seen it, we've handled it. We're talking about the Word of life.
We declare to you, we bear witness to you that life that was with the Father has been manifested, has been revealed to us. And that which we've seen and heard, we declare to you. That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. We write about the Word of life.
We write what we saw, what we handled, what we witnessed. We declare it to you.
Because we have fellowship with God, and you need fellowship with God, and you can have fellowship with us and with God. If you'll believe and follow the things we write, you'll have full joy.
Now that's going to get us down to why. Why has God revealed the truth for us?
And the why is that we may be thoroughly equipped to every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16-17.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. God wants us to be perfect, complete, thoroughly equipped into every good work. So we go to the Bible to do the good works of God, to know what His will is, to know what His will is for me, to be corrected in my sin, to be saved from my sin, and to then serve Him by serving those around me in truth, in righteousness. For Ephesians 4:11-16 expands the thought. It says that Christ gave gifts unto men, verse 8. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Jesus overwhelmed sin and death in His death and His resurrection from the dead. He gave gifts to us. And why and what are they? He said He Himself has given some to be apostles and prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Some inspired and some uninspired. The point of emphasis is upon what they're teaching, what they're revealing, what they're proclaiming, not the men themselves. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, to the edifying of the body of Christ. Why did Jesus give uninspired and uninspired gifts?
To equip you and me to serve.
To equip the body of Christ to become like Jesus. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we can grow up in all things like Him, who is our head. We can be like Jesus. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, every teaching out there, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. People then and people now deceive people. They have hidden agendas. They have their own motives. Not the salvation of the souls, to the preaching of the revealed truth of Jesus Christ. He says, this has been given to us by Jesus so that we will not be deceived, but that we'll be stable and grounded and secure.
It says, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You see, when every one of us takes the Word of God, when every one of us takes this Word that's come from heaven down to us and uses it in our life to become more and more like Jesus, the effect is the strengthening of the body of Christ, of the church of Christ. As you are strengthened individually, as a saint, as a child of God, you see the church is strengthened. God has given us truth to save our souls and to help save others. To be like Jesus, rather than in the world of sin and death. To sanctify us. John 17:17. So what does all this mean to you and me today? That God has revealed His mind through this process so that we can be complete in Christ, saved, have the reward of eternal life that David wrote about, the great reward that he talked about, that Jesus tells us about, is an everlasting life in the presence of God. What does all this mean to us today? Well, it means you can trust that the Bible is the Word of God. You can trust that it is not the Word of men, but that it is in truth the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. You said earlier, no book is more verified, more supported, more shown to be genuine or credible than the Bible. From the ancient world. None other than the Bible. You can trust the Bible. The Bible says that Noah lived 950 years. I'm going to believe it. Why shouldn't I? An eternal God created life. What is 950 years to an eternal God? You see, we need to accept the message God gives and understand that there's an explanation given in the Bible sufficient for us to be perfect in Christ. And so I believe it. Just as I believe, you know, I don't imagine that fellow believes in a worldwide flood either. He didn't think Noah would live 950 years. He probably didn't believe in a worldwide flood. But I do. Because the Bible says it. You say, well, and that's not a blind faith. It's because the Word is shown by the confirming miracles that attended the proclamation of this message that it is not from man. That it is from God. And you can trust it. Jesus said on one occasion, if it were not so, I would have told you. If it were not so, God would tell us. God has given us that which we need to be complete in Jesus Christ through inspired scriptures. It means to you that all you need from God to guide you in this life to go to heaven when you die is contained in the New Testament of Jesus Christ. That's what all this means. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished to every good work, everything you need to be saved and to serve God and to live with God and have the blessing of God and to eternally be with God. It's in the Bible. It's in the New Testament of Jesus Christ, more specifically because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. So we listen to the Word of Jesus today because it contains everlasting life. And so He said, he that rejects me, listen to Jesus, he that rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one that judges him. The Word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. That's what it means to us today. We're going to be judged by this Word. And so we should live by this Word. And when we do, we'll go to heaven eternally. That's the reward God's Word contains. God will not guide you apart from His inspired Scriptures. That's what it means today. God's not sending one message to one person and another message to another. He has given us truth revealed, as we've outlined on our chart, from heaven to man, so that we can read it, understand it, believe it,
and obey it. Live it.
Look at 1 John 2 with me very quickly, verse 20. You have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it and that no lie is of the truth. Notice, I've written you because you know truth. You have anointing from the Holy One. What is this anointing from the Holy One? A lot of people say, well, that anointing from the Holy One, that's the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. But let's keep reading. What's he talking about? Verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. That takes you back to chapter 1, doesn't it? If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. We hear a word, don't we? Go preach the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. And where's eternal life? It's in the commandment, in the Word of God that Jesus preached, John 12, that He sent to His apostles and prophets by power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we have today. Verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true, and it is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. Now, this anointing, whatever it is, he says, you've received from Christ, and it abides in you, and it teaches you, and it is true. That's the Word of God. That's this Word that came from heaven through the Son of God, empowered by the Spirit through His apostles who wrote it, who preached it, wrote it. He said, I wrote it to you. It's in you. Now live in it. And as you live in it, all things that pertain to life and godliness are granted us through the knowledge of Him who called us. 1 Peter 2, 3 and 4. We live the Word of God. We come to the knowledge of truth. We abide in that truth. And we have fellowship with God by following His Word. Jesus said, if you abide in My Word, then you're truly My disciples. Are you a disciple of Jesus today? Jesus said, if you're abiding in My Word, you're truly My disciple. And you shall know the truth. Look at that. You shall know the truth. The scripture is the truth. The devil's lie is you can't know truth. The devil's lie is we need hundreds of churches because nobody really can know truth. So everybody finds their own path to truth. That's a lie of Satan. Can know truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. If you can know Jesus, you can know truth. If you can't know truth, you can't know Jesus. But when you know truth, when you abide in truth, He said, My Father will love you, and we'll come unto you, and we'll make our abode with you. We'll have fellowship with you. You'll have fellowship with God if you will follow His Word of truth. That's what all this means to you today. You want to live with God? Then believe and obey His Word. To receive His Word, to receive the Word of Christ, to receive the Bible is to receive God. Jesus said, he that receives whomever I send receives Me, and he that receives Me receives Him who sent Me. Matthew 10:4. So when we receive the apostles, we're receiving Jesus. But by receiving Jesus, we're receiving the Father who sent Him. That's how God has revealed Himself and teaches you and speaks to you, is in this Word. It is in the Bible that is inspired by God. But you see, to reject the Word of Christ is to reject God. Luke 10:16. He that rejects Me rejects not Me, but Him who sent Me. We reject the apostles. We don't just reject them. We reject Jesus. But we don't just reject Jesus. We're rejecting the Father who sent Him into this world to save us. So what does all this mean to us? It means that God has spoken to me and to you. It means that I have a choice. And you have a choice. We have a choice of whether we will listen to God by learning His Word and believing that it's true. It's the truth that will save us through the power of God, through the grace of God, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, and our faith in Him compelling us to then obey His commandments, live in His truth, be enlightened by it, be converted by it, receive the great reward contained in it, and be warned that if we don't,
we will lose our souls. But God wants to live in fellowship with you. He wants you to be in fellowship with Him. If you'll believe His gospel today, if you'll obey His word now, Jesus said, then you'll have fellowship with God. You'll be saved in the last day. But He also said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? Many would say to me in that day, Lord, didn't we prophesy? In fact, that verse says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. But do the Father's will. Came through Jesus, inspired by the Holy Spirit. The apostles spoke it and wrote it. It's written down in scriptures. It saves us. It completes us. The question is, what will we do? Let's live by it. Have fellowship with God. Honor God. Glorify Him now. Have His blessings now and eternally. It's a lamp into our feet, a light into our path. More valuable than gold. Sweeter than the honeycomb. Nothing more precious, nothing more valuable. And so let's live it, because that's really where we show the value we put in God's Word, is the life that we yield ourselves to God according to His will. And we hope you'll start that today by being saved in Jesus. Repent, confess your faith that He's the Son of God, be baptized for the remission of your sins. As God's people, if you're saying you need to correct, do it now. Make it right with God now. So that in judgment, you'll hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. We urge you to come while we stand and sing.